You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, and this is the Play Therapy Podcast. In today's episode, we are talking through what to do when a child does not want to leave the playroom. And this question came from Sandy, and she is in Iowa. So Sandy, thank you for writing in, and I'm actually going to read you her question in her email, and then we'll dive in, because this is something that no matter if you've been doing this for a day or 100 years, we always end up with a child that does not want to leave the playroom, and knowing how to handle it and how to maintain the non-directive child-centered approach and just kind of keeping yourself in check through the process. All of those things are factors all the time. No matter how long you've been in it, you'll always end up dealing with this. So I think this is really helpful. So Sandy, thank you for the question. So she said, share an example of how you respond to a child who doesn't want to leave the playroom. So she works in the school setting, and she acknowledges that I'm validating the feeling and then I'm giving the limit. But then she says, I don't really know what choices I can give. So she said, I've had success with transition, with giving choices such as you can choose to hold my hand or you can choose to crab walk back to class. I love that. I typically will say, you can choose to hold my hand or you can choose to skip, or I'll say you can choose to skip or you can choose to run. But I've never done a crab walk, so I think that's fun. But I digress. Anyway, so you can choose to hold my hand or you can choose to crab walk back to class, although I may have to repeat the phrase several times. So we'll circle back to that comment. But then she also says, this has been successful with all but one child. She always takes her shoes and socks off when she comes in and she doesn't want to put them back on or go back to class. So I validate, I give the limit and give choices, but she crawls under the table or starts roaming around the playroom, getting into things, and she becomes more and more dysregulated. Do you have any suggestions? So yes, this is a very helpful scenario. We're definitely going to come up with some solutions here. So I kind of have three thoughts, but I want to look a little bit specifically at a few of the things that you mentioned in your question. So when you are validating and setting the limit, that is exactly what you do, right? So limit setting process is always used for problematic behavior. So you validate the emotion, you're really having fun and you want to keep playing, or you really wish you could play longer, or you don't want to have to leave. You are upset, time is up. So you gear the feeling and the emotion specifically for what you think is most appropriate, because in those scenarios, all of those emotions might have been valid, but which one is the most important one to say? And then you give the limit. It has to be neutral. It has to be factual. But our playtime is up. Or, but we've already played for 50 minutes. Or, but it's time to go back to class. In that scenario, in my scenario, it's time to go see mom. So yes, neutral limit is set. Both of those that you gave as examples, you're totally on track there. But then you say, I don't really know what choices I can give. Okay, well, you do, because you did, right? So you gave choices as you can choose to hold my hand or you can choose to crab walk. That is an appropriate choice. Because remember, here's what's important. When we give choices, we are doing several things. One, we're giving them something else to focus on. So all of a sudden, the attention is not, I want to keep playing. It's, am I going to hold your hand or crab walk? So it shifts the focus, which is helpful for getting them to the next part that they need to move. Secondly, you have this sense of the child has more power and control. When you say time's up, you've taken away all power and control from the child. And so by giving them a choice, it allows them to feel a sense of control again, which is very important. And then finally, you're giving choices so that they get to the end goal and they're no longer focusing on what they actually want to do, right? So what they want to do is, what can I do to stay in here longer? Notice that your choices are 100% tied to being back in class. So you can choose to hold my hand as we walk back to class, or you can choose to crab walk as we go back to class. Notice how the parameters are set in a way that the end goal is achieved. So I think those are really helpful just to kind of keep in mind as we're talking through this. And then the last thing that you said was, although I may have to repeat the phrase several times, yes, yes, and yes. Thank you for being aware of that. Thank you for being willing to do it. Thank you for recognizing that kids need time to process a choice. Sometimes upwards of 60 seconds a child needs before their brain can cognitively process a choice because they are emotional and they live in their feelings. Giving them a choice puts them in their head and it requires cognitive process. And that is uncomfortable for kids and it is difficult for kids and it is hard for kids. So sometimes kids need 60 seconds of processing time before they can comply with a choice, which means sometimes we have to restate the choice several times. And that is normal and that is appropriate and it is helpful. So we don't give a choice once and immediately expect an answer, and we don't demand that they immediately comply. We state it several times to give them the space and the time to make the choice. Here's why. Self-control is the goal. We could swoop in and grab their hand and walk them back to class right away. At my center in the playroom, I could grab their hand and take them out to the lobby. But what do they learn about self-control when we step in and control their behavior for them? You get as far out of control as you want to get, and someone else will swoop in and control your behavior for you. That's not what we want. We want self-regulation. We want self-control. So sometimes repeating the phrase several times until they're able to choose to self-control, that's exactly the best thing that we could do for them. So there are my thoughts on everything that you shared, Sandy. And now you specifically said, can you share an example of how you would respond or what you would do? So first and foremost, you want to structure the scenario for success. So this is a little harder when it's a new child and you have no relationship with them and you have no idea what to expect. However, you have obviously a pattern with this little girl, and you know that she's going to take her socks and shoes off, and you know she's going to struggle going back to class, and you know all of these things. So in that scenario, you structure the playtime and the playroom and the entire experience for success. So here's what I might do. I might give an 8-minute warning rather than a 5-minute warning so that there's more time built in for her to prepare to leave. So at our center, we do a 5-minute and a 2-minute. So maybe you might do an 8-minute, a 4-minute, and a 2-minute or something. So maybe she needs a little more time to prepare to be ready to go. So that would be something I might suggest. Secondly, I might give an ultimate limit. So I might, as she's ready to walk in and as she's ready to take her socks and shoes off, I might say, Sally, I know you like playing without your socks and shoes on, but then sometimes you don't want to put them back on to go back to class. So what did I just do there? You validate and you set the expectation, right? And then here's where the ultimate limit comes in. If you choose to take your socks and shoes off before you play, you choose to put them back on as soon as our time is up to go back to class. And if you choose not to put them back on as soon as our time is up, you choose to wear your socks and shoes next time we play. So what are we doing? We're saying, I get it. I completely understand. But we only have a certain amount of time to play in here. And your socks and shoes usually become a bone of contention for going back to class. So if you choose, I'm giving you power and control. You're in charge here. If you choose to take your socks and shoes off, with that choice comes ownership of putting them back on immediately. And if for whatever reason you're not able to put your shoes back on immediately. Then next time you've chosen not to have your socks and shoes off when we play. And in that scenario, you're structuring for success, you're giving an ultimate limit, and you are making it very clear you have control over the outcome. You don't care if she takes her socks or shoes off. You just care that then she refuses to put them back on. So it's up to her now. If you choose to take them off, you choose to put them on without a fight. And if you choose not to put them on without a fight, then you choose to keep them on next time. That will only, if she chooses not to put them on right away, then it will only happen once where she plays with her socks and shoes on. And she will very quickly go, yeah, I didn't like this. So next time I'm just going to put them back on right away. And that is how self-control is developed. So that's my thought there. And then my only other strategy is we offer snack at the end of our playtime as kind of a decompression arena before we meet parents back in the lobby. So often what I will say is when a child is refusing to leave, you know, that's usually when they, the last like minute, actually when time is up, but they're still in there for that last minute, they start throwing things on the floor, mess making, dumping things, because it's like, I have to get this last little bit out and I'm really, you know, now I'm dysregulated. So as they're trying to swipe my shelves, I typically say, you really want to keep playing, but our time is up. If you choose to come out right now and wash your hands, you choose to have time to get a snack. But if you choose to keep playing in here, you choose not to have snack because we won't have time. So I think what is helpful as far as structuring for success is giving them something to look forward to that is kind of the transition between the playtime and going back to class or going out to see mom and dad. So we've found that washing hands and getting a snack works really well in that scenario, but maybe it's choosing a sticker. Maybe it's, you know, something small that just is kind of the interim so that you can use that as part of the choice. Because if that matters to the child and you're going to not have time to do it because they've chosen to stay longer in the playroom, that can be a powerful motivator. And you have to keep in mind, currency matters. So what I mean by that is what matters to the child. Is a sticker important? Is a snack important? Is whatever you're going to incorporate, is that going to be something they look forward to? Therefore, it becomes currency. And then that is a motivator for self-control. Because if they really look forward to getting a sticker, then they would not want to sacrifice the sticker just to play for a couple more seconds in the playroom. So Sandy, those are my thoughts. I hope that is helpful. Thank you for writing in and offering that as a scenario that we could cover together. I think that's really important because, as I said, we all deal with kids that don't want to leave the playroom. I actually had one last week that just decided they wanted to make a mess of my room with no time left. So I get it. It's a struggle, but I think that we have to remain true to the child-centered model. And we have to give them the space to come to their own conclusion that they're choosing to comply, because that is how they get out of the pattern of dysregulation when they know that they can control themselves and they know they can comply with limits. It's very powerful. So again, Sandy, thank you. I appreciate it. If you would like me to answer a question, please email me, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. I love hearing from you. And every week we tackle a listener question. So it could be yours. Thanks again. I am so grateful that you spend time with me each week, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.